This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Coming up on Podcast 1516, Cadillac Lyriq SUV impresses on its first drive. Stick around and I'll tell you what I know. Also on the show today, investment into Electrify America, Jaguar's plan to electrify, and the Atto 3 soon entering Australia. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. It's Thursday, 30th of June. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Lots to get on the podcast today. If you haven't heard it, by the way, special edition, because it would just be like 40 minutes of me chatting. We are looking at the new Hyundai Ioniq 6. It should be in your podcast feed from earlier this morning if you're interested. If not, you know, just delete it. Now on with the news. And as I mentioned yesterday, I've had a chance to get my head around the results of those EU countries negotiating over the 2035 ban, and delighted to say it's game over for the internal combustion engine, at least in the EU zone. The Green Group Transport and Environment, TNE, saying that after EU governments agreed to end sales of anything that burns fuel, a combustion engine, that's both cars and vans, by 2035, not anything that's already on the road, just sales of new ones. The deal reached by the environment ministers early in the morning, very early hours of the morning, makes the switch to zero-emission vehicles a foregone conclusion after the European Parliament and the European Commission voting for it. Now, Julia Poliskanova is the Director of Vehicles and E-Mobility at TNE. She said this, and I quote, "European governments have taken the historic decision to end the sale of polluting cars. Transport is the largest source of emissions, and cars are the biggest part of the problem." Also worth remembering, by the way, I would add that 20% or 19% 2 years ago, I think the latest data I saw, of US cars made exported to Europe. So what, is the USA just going to make one set of cars for domestic and one set of cars for the EU? Well, I suppose they could, but that's not going to happen. So this has a knock-on effect, not just in the EU, in Europe, but also, I think, worldwide as well. Now, ministers agreed that manufacturers shouldn't get credits towards their CO2 targets for cars powered by e-fuels. They did say the Commission should submit new proposals, though, to allow their use in the future. Cars powered by synthetically created e-fuels, often with an enormous amount of electricity, even if it's renewable, still emit more CO2 than a battery electric vehicle over its lifestyle and also life cycle. And remember, also, it pumps out as much toxic NOx emissions as petrol vehicles as well. They're not immune to that, so this isn't a magical technology. Many, many in the industry want to see synthetic fuels, e-fuels, take over from battery electric vehicles because it maintains the status quo, and they got things good right now. They got filling stations and supply chains and supply lines and tankers, and you go to them and they decide the price. And over here at the minute, it's just over £2 or £1.99 a litre of diesel. About £1.93 is the average for unleaded. Like, they get to set the price. Since I put solar panels on my house last year, I know not everyone can do this. I know I'm lucky. I charge for free. Since about April, we've barely charged off the grid. We don't do any long journeys, right? I don't want to go back to being told, hey, you're paying £2, £2.50, £3 a litre because they've created something synthetically that my car then combusts. Well, the European Union countries endorsing a push to eliminate carbon from new cars, heralding the end of the internal combustion engine. Now, this isn't an overnight decision that the European Parliament, the European Commission, the member states make. There's still a final vote to have as well. This is a long process, but it's a really, really big part of the deal. Environment ministers struck a deal after Italy, of course, Motor Valley in Italy, the likes of Ferrari, Lamborghini gave up their insistence that there should be a 5-year delay because they don't want to go electric. EU lawmakers in favour of giving up fossil fuels in the car industry already. So most car companies are just going to use this opportunity to crack on, as they say. Now, Automotive News Europe, how do they report it? They say Italy had sought a 90% reduction in automakers' emissions by 2035, the year that the European Commission has targeted a full cut, and they wanted a longer exemption for small automakers. It won concessions on derogation for niche makers like Lamborghini, who will be spared the interim targets. So let me explain that. So if you're a small car maker, and Lamborghini is a small car maker, there are some interim targets between now and 2035, which they won't have to hit because they don't sell enough cars. And you know what? That's fine. I happen to live in a part of the country down on the south coast, not far from where there are lots of nice cars like that. A lot of footballers and things live down there. And you know what? If 99 cars drive past me that are electric in the next decade, and then one Lamborghini or Ferrari noisily comes past, I mean, who cares, right? Let's get 99% of the job done, and then the rest will work itself out. I'll pop links to those stories in the show notes. It's a massive moment if you're interested in EVs. Now, let's talk about a press release that I got from the White House. Put something out that said that the Biden administration has catalyzed $700 million in EV charging. I'm like, what do they mean by that headline? So let's look into this release they put out. They say that today the Biden-Harris administration is highlighting how their leadership on EVs is catalyzing $700 million in investments from the private sector that will increase the U.S.'s domestic capacity to manufacture 250,000 new EV chargers every single year. So I gather what they're saying, they're just trying to get some glory here, that their clear direction, a bit like what the EU did in the early hours of the morning yesterday, that the Biden administration, by setting out their stall, by saying we want to go EV, what that's done is it's by catalyzing investment. They're not putting, like, it's not the US putting money in, but private investment is able to go, right, now we know direction of travel. Now, I've been doing this podcast 4.5 years, long-term listeners bored of me saying, it's so important that we have clear regulation and clear policy, because at the end of the day, all a private company wants to do, unless they are ideologically opposed to zero emission transport, unless you're an oil company that really doesn't want to give up your way of life, or a fossil fuel company, or a fossil fuel lobbyist, right? So unless you're one of those, then you don't really care. You want to have a successful business, and to do that, you want a clear direction of travel. Then you can make your investments. It's just about the bottom line. And what they're saying is that the private investments that have followed the $7.5 billion infrastructure law to build a new national network of EV chargers in the US is enabling extra investment. Today's announcements demonstrate how the president is catalyzing private investment to boost domestic manufacturing capacity, enabling America to make that national network of chargers and make the chargers in the US. And part of that announcement was this: Volkswagen and Siemens announcing they raised $450 million for Electrify America to continue their deployment and expansion. The company made as part of the "you did a very, very bad thing" VW settlement with a $2 billion deal, which actually was quite a sweet deal because it forced VW to invest in a national charging network at just the right time when, well, Tesla were doing it, but no one else was. And so that's where Electrify America came from, if you didn't realize. And now it's the largest open high-powered network in the US. Today announcing $450 million worth of investments, some from Volkswagen and some from Siemens. They say, with our recent investment, we confirm our commitment to keep growing in the charging and energy business. We are supporting e-mobility in North America to more than double Electrify America, and I presume Electrify Canada, and the charging infrastructure. They want 10,000 ultra-fast chargers by 2026. Siemens' extra investment validates our strategy, they say. And that has got to be good news, because building out infrastructure is a horrible business, isn't it? Because you're always going to have to charge more for electricity, and people don't want to pay that. And you've got to keep those chargers working if you want to make money. And the return is at some undefined point in the future. And, as I keep arguing for, there needs to be greater oversight of these companies, which they don't want to be regulated. But it looks like it might be happening, actually. I saw a legal document, a legal website was talking about this, which I hadn't read anywhere else about 2 weeks ago, and I've not reported on the podcast. And that is that the US wants to bring in a 97% uptime rule for any charger built with federal money. Now, that still allows a charger to be offline for 11 days, of course, 97% of a year. But still, I think it should be 99%. You know, imagine if there was a petrol station in the middle of nowhere, no other petrol stations for 100 miles in every direction, and it was just randomly out of order for 11 days a year. Drivers would be going bonkers. But still, it's a good start. I'll dig out that story, and if it's good enough, I'll add it to the podcast if we have news one day. Right, coming up on the podcast soon, we talk about Jaguar's return to electrification and the Iways brand coming to the UK. Stick around, those stories, they're on the way. Okay, headline story now, and the embargo's lifted on the first drives of the Cadillac Lyriq. And I could go around the grounds and look at what the various EV websites said, but one of my own friends got to drive it a couple of weeks ago. Here's Dominic, who I do the Inside EVs podcast with on Friday. So I thought we'd turn to him for what he thought of it. He says the Cadillac name, one of the most iconic automakers in the US, even heralded in popular song in the 20th century, defined American luxury, and hence the name Lyriq for the car, although different spelling. The introduction of this first EV marks the end of combustion for Cadillac. It's leading the BEV way for General Motors, and they'll stop selling vehicles with internal combustion engines by 2030, they say, and the entire GM company by 2035. Dominic says, it's notable performance numbers, 312 miles of range, sub 6 second 0-60, 190 kilowatt DC fast charging, along with luxury touches and experience, seem like a strong value for starting at $62,990. The Lyriq is engineered to be a quiet place. Active noise cancelling enlists 6 microphones to capture what you would hear with your ears, and accelerometers on the front suspension to capture road noise, to keep outside noise and road vibration at bay. Enhanced by its good aerodynamics and acoustic glass as well. The system worked well. He said he was driving the Lyriq on noisy, grooved concrete on the highway. What would have been a drone in other cars was not noticeable in the Lyriq. The expansive glass roof with power sunshine and sunshade, rather, adds an airy and spacious feel, he says. The floating curved LED 33-inch touchscreen flows from the driver's side to the dash across to the centre, is quick to respond, it's bright, and it's detailed, he said. The Lyriq is the first Cadillac with 5-link suspension on all 4 corners and aided by passive plus premium dampers all the way around. Road irregularities disappear. So what are the specs on this then? Well, 102 kilowatt hour usable battery. Don't know gross, but usable 102. So firstly, a really, really big battery to get to 312 miles of EPA range. That's probably 335 or 340 on the WLTP cycle. It's also got 340 horsepower on the rear-wheel drive version and an all-wheel drive 500 horsepower version being added later this year. Inside, it's pretty traditional. It is a bit more premium and luxury. It's got the old stop-start button, and those little kind of old-fashioned touches are in contrast to that big, big screen. And you can't help but notice that because it does dominate the inside of the Cadillac Lyriq, a big single piece of glass, 33-inch screen. And it is very impressive. Very traditional steering wheel, a 3-spoke steering wheel, lots of buttons. It looks like they're capacitive, if that's the right word. You know, the ones like on the VWs, which I don't really like because I like the click of a button. Looks like those. Dom doesn't talk about the steering wheel buttons. Quite a busy steering wheel, quite busy inside, actually, compared to some EVs, but many people will like that, a very analogous interior to their combustion cars, apart from the fact that massive screen does dominate. Look, the materials look nice. He points out that what looks nice to the eye, the switch gear, you know, it's not solid metal switches. There's a bit of play in them. The gear selector isn't a nice piece of glass, but rather it's like an acrylic. So when you start touching things in the car, that's how they get to a $60,000 car. But it looks very premium. And that's the key, right? This is a over 100 kilowatt hour battery for just over $60,000, which is an exceptional piece of value. I'm not pretending that's a cheap car, but compared to its competitors, if you're cross-shopping, it looks to be good value. And I'm looking forward to customers getting those vehicles and watching those real-life YouTube videos, and not a car that I will get to drive anytime soon, because it won't be over here. But over here we will have some Jaguars to drive. Not quite soon, though. Jaguar is planning a trio of jaw-dropping electric sports crossovers to burst through the £100,000 barrier and take the Jaguar brand into Bentley territory from 2025, according to an exclusive report in autocar.co.uk. The new two-tier, three-model lineup promises to recast Jaguar from the existing non-EV name that it is. Yes, there is the I-Pace. What a shame they didn't follow that up sooner with anything else. But they want to go exclusive, electric, aluminium, based on a single platform. They call it Panthera. And using closely related mechanical packages made in Solihull in the West Midlands here, and coming in three-door and five-door bodies, entry price around £80,000 to £90,000. Jaguar's progress on EVs is currently being made more difficult by hold-ups and shortages in the supply chain, says the Autocar article. Really? They don't make any. They make the I-Pace. So how can Jaguar's progress on EVs be held up by the supply chain? It's not like they've got an oven-ready EV and they're like, well, we'd make a million of these, we can't get the chips. I don't really understand that. Anyway, the new platform will be jointly developed by Jaguar Land Rover and Magna, who make the I-Pace. Autocar writes, Jaguar is also likely to try to source batteries from a UK-based supplier, with some press reports suggesting it may team up with Envision AESC. Yeah, that's who makes the batteries for Nissan. Nissan Leaf, made in three locations around the world. Batteries are made in Sunderland in the northeast, and that's what goes inside the Leaf. They could well supply batteries for Jaguar. So, yeah, long-term plan, but good. Good to hear them finally talking about it. You know, the Jaguar JLR is not a company that goes out of its way to embrace the hype machine. I think I can say that pretty fairly. You know, they're not every 5 minutes talking about, oh, we're going to have some amazing EVs. They're taking probably a good couple of years under this new management to get their ducks in a row, some would say a little too long. But hey, always best to under-promise and over-deliver, as long as those vehicles are pretty special when they do arrive. A cheaper vehicle than that, though, will be the Chinese Aiways, the SUV that is the U5. Hey, they're going to make a right-hand drive version. They're going to start in the UK. This is firmly up against the ENIAC from Skoda, but it'll be cheaper. The Volkswagen ID4, but it'll be cheaper. And a spokesperson for Aiways telling Auto Express magazine, we are planning to expand to right-hand drive markets to the middle of end of next year. No dates can be given. We'll start with the UK and look elsewhere. Aiways claiming the U5 will do 250 miles of real range on a single charge. 63 kilowatt hour battery. Yeah, that is going to have to be an efficient car to do a real 250 miles on 63 kilowatts. Doable, very doable. A Kona will do 50 more miles than that, so doable. They say it'll charge 30 to 80% in 27 minutes. What a curious window of charging to provide us with. You don't get many 30 to 80s. You get a lot of 10 to 80s and 0 to 80s by the car makers, but very little 30 to 80s. There you go, 27 minutes. Not a particularly fast charging car either. But look, neither is my Chinese car, the MG ZS. It's dog slow when it charges, in fact. This time of year, it's fine. But if it's cold, it's even slightly nippy. Even if you've got to put a pullover on, that thing's charging slowly. So, no problem. No problem. Right, talking of Chinese cars, the BYD Atto is entering Australia. It's being imported. EV Direct are going to commence test drives of the right-hand drive BYD Atto 3 coming into Aussie. One of the most affordable new electric vehicles in Australia. First deliveries in the third quarter, so soon. Starts at $44,000 before on-road charges. Standard range version is that $47,000 for the extended range version. Now, going electric trucking is going to be a big story that we talk about over the next decade or so. And on Saturday, you can hear my special interview with Volta Trucks. Now, at Fully Charged Live, all those weeks ago, myself and Nick Ramo, EV Nick is his YouTube channel. We both had a chat to Volta, and you can hear that as a Saturday special this weekend. Volta Trucks are also completing their first customer driving evaluation and feedback sessions of their prototypes. The review gave customers their first experience of the zero tailpipe medium duty truck designed for urban logistics to get feedback. It's a fantastic design of a vehicle. The driver sits at normal road level. You don't step up into this thing, you step into it. It's pretty much got an all glass house front so you can see around. Loads of cameras facing back, great for cyclists and safety. The prototypes will be loaned to customers this year to understand how these all-electric medium-duty trucks will integrate into their businesses. Let's talk NIO, putting out some news today that their cumulative number of battery swaps is now 9.7 million. And if you're wondering why they didn't just wait for the 10 million number, and you go, well, thanks for the press release, but you've shot your load a bit early there. 9.7 is the number they've given because it's 4 years to the day since they started battery swapping. So that's why. It's because I was like, 9.7's a weird number to celebrate, but it's 4 years to the day. June 28th, 2018, the first NIO Power service was opened. They currently have 996 battery swap stations in China, 254 on the highways. Staying in China, final story, and Goshen, which is a battery maker, say they plan to have a third of their production capacity not in China by 2025. They currently make 16 gigawatt hours of batteries a year, but they will move to 300 gigawatt hours. My notes were wrong. 300 gigawatt hours within the next 3 years. It's a massive scale. And you're going to be driving more and more EVs with Goshen batteries inside. And 100 gigawatt hours of that will be overseas. Now, Goshen's move away from China follows CATL. They're going to be opening their German plant this year. Goshen will supply Volkswagen and their new platform, which comes the middle of the decade, the unified cell. I believe Goshen will be supplying that. I don't know, not confirmed. I think that's true. They're going to be opening a German plant. Well, they'll start work on the German plant this year, end of this year. I think they do that, and production starts sometime next September. And that's your podcast for today. Woof! It was a longie. Lots of news to get through. Brilliant. Right, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. It's taken a little break for a while. It'll be back. Email me your thoughts about any of today's stories, any feedback to hello@evnewsdaily.com. And thank you to everyone on Patreon, all the individuals, all the corporate sponsors. I couldn't do it without you. Last day of the month today. So if you are a Patreon supporter, one of the 300 and something odd Patreon supporters, you should be getting either an email or you'll be getting your charge. And if you're just enlisting in time and you want to cancel it because you've come to the end or something, then be quick. But thank you very much for your continued support. It means that we don't have to be beholden to anyone telling us what to say and what to do and what to cover on this podcast. Completely independent. And it's all thanks to you and the Patreon support. I know it's a big deal, whether it's $5 or $10. Most people are $10 a month, right? Exec producers. And I know that's a big deal, and I really appreciate it. And thanks to our premium partners, Phil Roberts at Electric Future. Thank you, Brad Crosby. Thank you, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Hi to Derek Riley and his brilliant YouTube channel. It's called EV Review Ireland. Hi to Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. emobilitynorway.com. Octopus Electric Juice joined us recently. They make public charging simple with one card, one map, and one app. And finally, millbrookcottages.co.uk. Check out 5-star luxury cottages in the southwest in Devon and treat yourself to a great trip away. Thanks for listening. I'll see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.